The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, continuing to follow the Gospel of Mark. We've been in the first chapter for a couple of weeks now. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him, that's Jesus, about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Distractions, right? They can easily keep us from getting done what we want to get done in the day. Jesus was distracted from the main work that he came to do. I certainly understand that feeling. As a pastor, I would love to spend more time studying God's Word, spend more time trying harder to do good sermons and even especially Bible classes. A lot of times I feel like I just kind of slip my Bible class study in there at the last minute. Don't have as much time as I'd like. Just the other day I was trying to go visit Lindeen Bornick. And I called him up, said I was coming at 1. Well, then of course the phone started ringing. And then someone started texting me. And then Kaylee got upset, didn't want to get in the car seat. Makes it difficult to get out and do what you want to do. You want to study God's Word, but all these little things that need to get done crop up and get in the way. I'm sure you all know what that's like. Maybe some of you farmers want to get out and plant the seed or whatever. Your tractor's broken down, so you spend the whole day trying to fix the tractor, and all of a sudden the day's gone and you didn't get done what you wanted to get done. What is it that distracts Jesus from the work that he came to do? A thing that's distracting him in our text this morning is healing the sick and casting out demons. Jesus' distractions kind of put ours to shame a little bit, don't they? He can't get his work done because he's too busy healing and casting out demons. A lot of times we don't get our work done because we're, you know, distracted by TV or some other thing that really just doesn't matter. It's not that Jesus doesn't want to help. It's not that he doesn't want to heal the people. He does. He came down from heaven and gave up his very life for us. That's how much he loved us. Certainly, helping out by healing and casting out demons was something he wanted to do. But he knows that there's something more important. He knows when it's time to push the crowd away and go and take time to pray and to study God's Word. When I was in India, another India story, I should probably get some theme music for the organist to play, like India story time. When I was in India, after the service, a lot of times the people would come up, very similar to what happened to Jesus, they would come up with all of their problems, their sicknesses and stuff. Now, they didn't expect me, thankfully, they didn't expect me to do miracles and heal them on the spot, because they would have been disappointed. But they did come up. They wanted me to pray for those things. They would all, I was about to say line up, but Indians don't line up. They crowd around, pushing and shoving, trying to get in there. And there was one particular service, one particular village where there's quite a large crowd. So after the service, there's this large crowd of people shoving and pushing, trying to get to me, wanting me to pray for them. But I had to go to the bathroom. Well, I couldn't really push through the crowd, so I was trying to get the prayers done, and eventually the prayers got shorter and shorter, and I really had to go. And eventually there was just, you know, five people left, and I thought, okay, I can make it through. Well, like five people, and then there was five more, and then did those, and then there was five more. No matter how many people I did, there was always five more there. And finally, there was only one left, but I couldn't wait any longer. I had to go. And I got back, and there was one lady was still there, and I prayed for her. And then finally, of course, that was it. Everyone was done, and I was able to go. Well, I was able to go home. Jesus is distracted from setting time aside and from preaching because of all the people pushing around him. They want him to heal his sicknesses and his diseases, very similar to that. But Jesus knows how and when push them away, to step aside, to say, no, I need to spend time in prayer and in study. Jesus was distracted by the sick and the demon-possessed. What excuses do we have? I remember well the advice of one pastor who said, Satan is very good at distracting us. He's very good at distracting me, the pastor said. I sit down to pray or to study, and I notice the curtains are askew, and I just have to get up and fix them. And then I hear the dog barking, and I gotta go feed it. And then the baby's crying, and then it's time for breakfast. And before you know it, it's the end of the day, and I'm too tired. I gotta go to bed, and I haven't spent time in prayer and study. Jesus wants to help, but he knows the importance of prayer, study, and God's Word. Jesus fulfills the third commandment. Do you remember the third commandment from catechism class? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise God's Word or the teaching of it, but we should regard God's Word as holy and gladly hear and learn it. We fulfill the third commandment not when we come to church every Sunday and not when we don't work on Saturday. We fulfill the third commandment when we take time to know the importance of prayer and meditation in God's Word and make it a daily part of our life. In Bible class today, we're going to talk about the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. And when he did that, and one of the things we're going to talk about more in depth in Bible class, when he did that, the high priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees challenged him. What authority do you have to do this? Show us a sign to prove that you have authority to do this. Notice, they don't argue with him on the basis of whether he was right to do it or not. They don't argue with him on the basis of God's word. They know full well that that temple was supposed to be a place set aside for the worship of God. They know full well that that temple was not supposed to be a place for buying and selling lambs and cows and making money. They don't go to God's word because they know they'll lose. They argue on the basis of miracles. Later, however, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath day. In that incident, how do they argue with Jesus? They don't say, oh, hey, you did a miracle, therefore you have the authority to do this. That would have been in keeping with their argument about the temple. No, instead they said, you can't work on the Sabbath. You're a sinner for healing a man. Jesus can heal a man on the Sabbath, and he can take a whip and drive people out of the temple on a festival day and still be blameless of breaking the third commandment because we see in our text, he does make prayer and study of God's Word the important thing in his life. He does take time and set aside time for that thing. He keeps the Sabbath by honoring God's Word. Keeping the Sabbath doesn't mean, the meaning of the third commandment is not do not work on the seventh day. The meaning of the seventh commandment is take time to find rest in God and His Word. Now God, knowing our sinfulness, knowing how bad we are at doing that, added the you shall not work on the seventh day in order to help us, to force us to take time to remove those distractions for us. He said, okay, you're going to be distracted if I don't help you out, so this day you do no work. Focus on God's Word. But the point is focusing on God's Word. And similarly for us as well, living in the New Testament, we don't have that strict regulation about the seventh day, but the point remains, remove the distractions. Take time to focus on the study, on prayer and study. And notice that when Jesus spends the night in prayer, it doesn't mean that he spent the whole night with his hands and head bowed and just talking to God. He may have done that, but it's very possible he had the Word of God there. Certainly at some times he did. He had the Word of God there. He was studying the Word. Study and prayer go together. They're not two separate things. Study God's Word and pray about it. Living in that Word of God. So Jesus rests in God's Word. He fulfills that third commandment. Then he also goes forth to preach that Word of God, doesn't he? Notice the next day, everyone is looking for him. No doubt they had many more sick, many more demon-possessed that they wanted his help with. But Jesus knows. Just like he knew, now is the time to push aside those distractions and focus on prayer and study. He also knows now is the time to move on to the next village because they need to hear the Word of God also. Again, it's not that Jesus doesn't want to help. It's not that Jesus doesn't want to heal those people. But Jesus knows the line of those who are sick is endless. He could spend a month or 2 months or a year in that village and there would still be more sick, more that need his help, more that want a miracle. Jesus himself once said, the poor are with you always. The same is true. Sickness and disease and suffering are always here. They're always a part of this world. The symptom of this sinful and evil world that we live in. So they're always going to be here as long as we live in this sinful and evil world. But Jesus knows that those are just the symptoms. Jesus knows that there's something more important. Jesus knows he's got to get at the root of the problem, not just curing their diseases, but curing their sin. And that's accomplished by going forward to Calvary to die for our sins and by preaching that forgiveness of sins to everyone. People often complain that us Christians just sit around talking, or us pastors especially just sit around talking and preaching. We don't actually do anything. That's part of the problem with God's Word, with prayer and study, is that from an earthly perspective, it seems like we're not really doing anything. We're not really accomplishing anything. Imagine there's a lame man in front of you. What are you going to do? Assuming you have the ability, what are you going to do? Heal his leg or forgive his sins? Healing his leg seems like you're actually helping him. Healing his leg seems like you're actually accomplishing something from an earthly perspective. Telling him, hey, your sins are forgiven. Be happy, your sins are forgiven. Doesn't seem like you're really helping out much from an earthly perspective. And yet, which one does Jesus do? Ultimately, he does both in that exact situation, but he begins, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. He begins with the preaching of the gospel. He knows that even though it doesn't seem like it from an earthly perspective, that is what's more important. That is ultimately what is actually accomplishing something that is going to last. Removing that, the root of the problem, the sin. Providing a way for man to ascend to heaven where there is no more sin or sickness or disease. That is what Jesus came to do, as he says in our text. Let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose, to preach the gospel, I have come forward. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what he sends us out to do. Jesus didn't descend from heaven in order to rid the world of tuberculosis. He descended from heaven and died on the cross in order to rid the world of sin, in order to cleanse our hearts, in order to preach the gospel and the forgiveness of sin. That's what he sends us out to do. And it's for that very reason that he emphasizes the importance of removing the distractions to spend daily, to spend time in His Word. Because it's that Word that brings us that greater gift. The early church often referred to the Word of God as the medicine of life. How far would you go to obtain a vial of medicine that was proven to give you eternal life? How much money would you save to buy that? Here you have it freely given to you, just in front of you every day of your life, yet we often regard it as nothing. We often despise it, thinking that's not really that important, and not making it an essential part of our life. Jesus emphasizes that daily walk with Him, because it's through that Word that He gives us the forgiveness of sins, and it's through that forgiveness of sins and through that Word that He strengthens us so that we also can go out, preach, and tell everyone else, rejoicing in that forgiveness that we have been given. Finding joy in that, we can go out and, as Jesus did, make that the purpose of our life, to tell everyone the wonderful news that Jesus has died for our sins. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.